Gentlemen, I'm just going to finish off Siman Tov Nun Aleph with the last Sa'if, and then we're going to be delving into Siman Tov Nun Beis, which is the most, I really think it's the most important Yisodis in Yeridah that we're going to be discussing. Let's just quickly finish off Sa'if Chav Zayin, the final Sa'if of Siman Tov Nun Aleph. B'shot Hovim Mutzlachas, Shpud Yoshan, Shatzol Bo Efes B'Pesach, Shpud Yoshan is an old, used screw, is that what it's called? How do you spell that?
S-K-E-W-E-R.
Okay. Spit. Is it called a spit as well? Is that it's called a spit. Okay. Yoshan Shetzolah Bo'ofes B'Pesach. That was used for roasting Ofes, chickens on Pesach. Mutarin are permitted. You can use that. Avok B'Shem Mekodin Tzolah Bo'ibosom Aluach. Although he may have used it during the year for non-Pesach chickens, which were heavily salted, and that salt which was used during the year was not checked, and it may contain potentially a bit of chametz. Nevertheless, that screw which you use during the year, with a slight chance of having had chickens with salt which may not have been checked, which may have had, that you can use on Pesach. But ideally don't do that. Similarly, when it comes to the barzois, the taps of the wine barrels, all you need to do is to wash them off, the taps, because they're used for wine only, which is cold use only. You can just wash it off, rinse it off, and that's fine. That's unlike our taps, which are no, you can't just wash them off and it's fine. Why? They're hot, absolutely, they're used for hot. But if you look at the barrels, the wine barrels, they're only used categorically for cold, and therefore you can just wash it off and you'll be fine. Similarly, also the kelim which are used, it's kind of a keli that used for the drinking vessels. You put them in there. All you do is to wash it off. And then you can use it for Pesach kelim. So this is just like a holder. You actually spoke about even baskets, areas which are clearly only being used for cold use. You can just wash it off, rinse it off. And in principle, it's kosher lePesach, as long as you know it's clean. We said, the minig is, and it's only minig, that we're still going to cover it up. But it's not necessary pealocha. Pealocha, all you need to do, if it's cold use only, you could just wash it, rinse it, and you'll be fine. Lemaisa, we tend to cover it up. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah says, but that is generally the minig. Okay, this is Siman Tov Nun Aleph. Now we're going to be delving in Siman Tov Nun Beis. Now Siman Tov Nun Beis starts off with perhaps the three most yisoidisdiger concepts with regards to Hagola, Tam, Yeridea, Ilchas Pesach. It's fascinating. I did find this. If you remember this, that means you've been in Yeshiva for 7 years. If you remember this, Abgidin, do you remember this? Yeah. Okay, because it's called the mystery of kashering. And that's what we're going to be discussing now. It's fascinating. I wanted to clarify the question before we go to Shulchan Aruch. And it's a couple of words of introduction. We're going to appreciate the Shulchan Aruch if you understand this. Okay. Imagine you've got a keli which is tefer. The same will apply if the keli, we talk about spoon. The spoon is tefer because you mixed it, basar b'chalav, it's tefer. Similarly, if this spoon was used for chametz, for porridge, and now you want to use it for Pesach, you want to kasher this spoon. We know that kashering works. We've been speaking now for weeks about the process of kashering, and that kashering is going to work, whether for Issa, whether for chametz. There's a bit of a problem here. How are we going to do this? So we spoke about the fact that it's got to be keboiloi, kachpoiltoi, and therefore if it became tefer, chametz declaration, you've got to kasher it in a I'm leaving out Libuna. Please forget Libun. We're not going to be discussing Libuna. Forget about Libun. I'm talking about pure, undiluted Hagolah, kashering through hot water. Right, I want to take this spoon now, and I'm going to put it, therefore, in a kliyashen, because it became treif in a kliyashen. Well, there's a problem now. What's going to happen? I've got the blias of what we talk about, chometz or issa. I mean, same thing, right? I've got the blias, which we're going to call the taste. I strongly dislike the translation of taste when it comes to tam, because taste seems to always imply that you can feel it, you can taste it. It doesn't necessarily need to be like that. It's not as simple as that. But I'm going to just call it tam. There's something which has gone into the... If I use that spoon for chametz, or I use that spoon...
Thermodynamics.
Brilliant. Okay, let's use this word, if I remember it, for another 30 seconds. So, this has got now blias in the... It's called spoon. Now, I want to get rid of those blias. I can do it now in a kliyashen. So what do? I take this spoon and I put it in a bubbling pot which is on a fire in a kliyashen. What happens now? I know the blias have gone out of the spoon. As long as it's really bubbling, it's done properly. I take the spoon out and whoops, here you go. Magic. The spoon is kosher. That's how it works, right? That's what we learned. How does that work though? It doesn't make sense. Because what happened, Chaim, to those blias that were in the spoon? What happened to them? They didn't disappear. They must have gone somewhere. They went in the water. Very good. I couldn't agree more. They surely went in the water. Very nice. Thank you very much. So I've got the blias now of Issa, or the blias of chometz, which have nicely and kindly disappeared from the spoon and gently and elegantly gone into the water. Thank you very much. And now, is it... mysteriously disappeared? No, because those blias are in the water. Surely now, they're not going to stay gently and elegantly and placidly in the water. The blias of Issa, surely now, are going to, again, go wherever they can go. Why can't those blias of Issa, which came from the spoon and are currently in the water, why can't they, A, go back into the spoon, B, go into the pot? So not only have not cleaned my spoon and cushioned my spoon, surely it should go back ping pong, it should go back into the spoon. And furthermore, those blias of Issa that were in the spoon have now spread into the water and gone into the pot. So I've now made my pot tape on top of it. Thank you very much. My wife is going to send me out of the kitchen flying. Well, how does that work? So I'm asking, and that's how I titled it last cycle, The Mystery of Kashering. It's really a mystery, it's an enigma. How does kashering work? And that's not only going to be true with a spoon, that's going to be true with any keli. What I've done over here is this green spoon. It's a chometz stick spoon, and this red arrow points into a taste of chometz, goes into the water. It's a kliyashen aloesh. And now, surely, the red arrow should identify that surely it should go back into the spoon. I'm adding now, in this cycle, I'm adding that surely the issa, which is in the water, should go into the pot as well. V'tzorichien. Bottle b'shishim. Yeah, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? Yeah, so we're going to see now these three answers to that question. And each of them is critical. Absolutely critical, because otherwise we're really going to make our kitchen safer. There's three answers. First answer, what Rav Frankel suggests, I'm going to go, it's number two in this list over here. So I'm going to give this to you already. Yeah, you know what to do with it. Then number two is what Rav Frankel suggests. There's the solutions. Number two is water more than 60 times a spoon.
What's the first one?
I'm going to go to the second one, the first one in a minute. Let's just go to the second one first, because that's the one suggested. Oh, so number one is water is more than 60 of the spoon. The chometz stick taste become bottled, nullified as joining the water. So what happens is that in principle it is true, and the spoon is full of blias of issa. However, once I put the spoon into the bubbling water, Rav Feingold points out that is correct. If I've got 60 times the volume of the spoon, we are assuming the spoon is packed of Blies Asurois. I've got 60 times the volume of the spoon. What's going to happen now is, if the water is more than 60 times the volume of the spoon, it's going to be Botel Beshishim, it's going to be nullified. So the Blies that are going out and exiting the spoon become instantly Botel in the water. Therefore, the spoon has now become kosher, the water is kosher, and the pot has not been affected, because the water is has made it bottle meshishim. The is says now disintegrated. L'chaim or l'sholem, it's gone.
We're not going to say chayz
v'neha. We will not. Very good. We will talk about that as well. But for the moment, let's leave this out. 2, 4, 4, 4. So that is, but it's a valid point. Very good point. We will talk about that. We'll talk about that. So that's. The question was, how does kashering work? The first answer is yes. The answer is that if it hits shishim, it's going to be bottled. A technical footnote on this: it doesn't always work. And now we can't assume that it's going to work, because imagine the big pots and the big kelim, you can't kash them with 60 times the water. So with a spoon, it's, you're right, and with many kelim, 100%, but there are kelim that you cannot have 60 times the water of the volume of the keli. Okay, that's suggestion number, very valid. We're going to speak. No, so the answer to En Vatan is Lechatchila, is the answer to that question is that Hagola is not considered a bittel is Lechatchila. Hagola has got a heter in its own right. The Torah says you can do Hagola, it's a posuk in the Torah, therefore the Issa of En Vatan doesn't apply. That's the Torah is, there's no Issa of En Vatan when it comes to Hagola. En Vatan is only with Rabban, and the Torah is Mati Hagola. It's a good question though, but am I saying that's what.
Isn't there a problem? Something goes in or goes out. It doesn't go out and then go in again to something.
Nope, I don't know about that, Carl. We're going to get to that's number three. We'll get to that. Okay, the first answer, according to this list, is Einu Ben Yoimo. If the spoon is Einu Ben Yoimo, and that is based on the following concept, that if we talk about tam and taste, taste is only considered. Taste, blias, and tam is only considered. What's the right word? Not effective. No, that's not the right word.
Maybe not.
It's only considered.
Why isn't effective a good word?
Effective, you'd go for effective. Tam is only. Let's finish the sentence and tell me if you can find something else. Tam is only considered, is only effective as long as it is 24 hours old. Because once it's beyond the 24 hours, what happens to the taste is that it becomes flat. It's not strong anymore. It's a bit like the Coke once it's been open for 2 days. It has no more.
Potency.
What's that?
Potency.
It hasn't got any more. The Torah says tam is only also if it is fresh tam. However, if it's noisen tam lifgam. Noisen tam lifgam. If it is pogum, if it's old, it hasn't got any more that potency and that effectiveness after 24 hours, and therefore it's not really. Therefore, that's minatoyan to a large extent midrabanan too. So therefore, if the spoon would have not been used now for 24 hours, the blias within it are considered pogum. Consequently, now if I am to kasha this spoon. So what's going to be is that the spoon, inserting the spoon into the klirishin, what happens is that the tam goes out, but what kind of tam is going out of that spoon? What kind of tam? Pogum tam. Noisen tam lifgam tam. That tam is meaningless.
Noisen tam lifgam tam?
Yeah, so noisen tam lifgam tam is.
What was that?
It is. Noisen tam lifgam is the tam of noisen tam. That's what it is. What are you referring to? The tam, noisen tam lifgam is the tam, the taste, which is lifgam, which is more than 24 hours old.
Okay.
That's what it means. That's the halachic term. Very good. We can't. And we'll speak soon about that as well. Very good, you're right. We'll get to that, we'll get to that, we'll get to that. So just get the concepts clear. Elechatchile indeed. But lemaisa, normally comes to Hagolah. To Hagolah. So Rabbi say, generally, as a rule, we're going to see Shulchan Aruch about that. Sif Aleph is going to teach us that whenever we come, whenever we do Hagolah, whenever you've messed up your spoon in your kitchen, I've got my weekly trips basically to the, you know, to kasha and to whatever. So when you kasha something, you always have got to make sure that we always ensure that you don't kasha something within the first 24 hours. You always wait and you kasha it then. Precisely because of that reason, because in case you don't have, because that would happen then is that the noise and time lift gum which would go back, let me just use this again. The noise and time lift gum which would go back, if I've got this spoon now, if the chometz now in the spoon is over 24 hours old and it's pogum, if that would go into the water, very nice, that's good. So the spoon is kosher now, but if it would go back into the spoon, it wouldn't matter at all because it's time pogum, and time pogum doesn't matter. So that's because it's a noise and time lift gum. So, if it enters the water pogum, the taste is not problematic.
That doesn't sound like the answer to the question, because what was in there before was also pogum. So, come out and got in.
Yeah, so for that we need taka number 3. Very good. So we'll speak about that now. Good. Now, to understand the last and final concept, which is perhaps the most complex, is the concept of noisen tam ba noisen tam, which is more commonly called nat ba nat. And that's probably the most complex of all those yesodas. Nat ba nat means, we could call it indirect or second generation tam. Well, that is as follows. Noisen tam ba noisen tam is if you've got chometz, and the chometz goes straight into the keli, into the pot. That would be considered the chametz. If I cook chametz in a pot, so what happens to the chametz is the time of the chametz went into the pot, or into the spoon, or into the knife, or into the fork, because it was in direct contact with the chametz. So the chametz blias went into the spoon or into the pot, right? That's called nat rishon. Direct contact from the chametz, taste goes right into the keli. What happens though, if I take now the chametz out, I've taken the chametz out of the pot, and you know what, I've even washed the pot thoroughly, but I'm now cooking water in that pot. What happens now? So, is the water affected by the chametz, yes or no? Again, I've taken, what's a good chametz that you cook in a pot? Hot? Pardon? Pasta, porridge, right, whatever. I've cooked chametz hot in a kliyishin. I've taken my chametz out. I've cleaned the pot. I've now put hot water, I've put water in the pot and cooked it again. Is the water affected by the chametz, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
She's taken out the blea.
But it wasn't in touch with the chametz at all, but you're still right.
Through the water.
Very good. Absolutely correct. And that is called Noisen Tam Bar Noisen Tam. Noisen Tam, the son of Noisen Tam, the second generation. Because the Tam went from the chametz into the pot. I've removed the chametz. Pot has got blias of chametz. The blias have now gone from the pot into the water. Noisen Tam Bar Noisen Tam. Nat Bar Nat. Now, is Nat Bar Nat also or not? It's indirect. That water has never seen chametz. Is it chametz? They go not. Is noisen tam bar noisen tam? Is not bar not also yes or no? On Pesach it is. Stamazo it is. So there is a rule. If we're talking about itzah, very good. That's the answer. There is a big distinction. Noisen tam bar noisen tam is a very big machloikas from the Gemara down into the Shulchan Aruch. If noisen tam bar noisen tam, not bar not, is tam. By the way, before we go into the Ches Pesach, this is very noikea on our day-to-day basis, because if you want to eat something flashy, many times, the most common shailas that Rabbonim asked when it comes to flashy gemelchiks are noisen tam bar noisen tam questions, such as, you cooked a...
You have meat and you have rice cooked in milk and pots without any milk.
Very good. So again, what's the case? You cooked.
You got meat from a meat pot.
You cooked rice, meat in a meat pot.
You got rice from a milk pot, but with no.
Right, very good. You took rice from milk pot, yeah, which never got in touch with milk. But it was cooked in a milky pot. Can you have that rice together with a chicken? So that's one typical example. Or where else do you find oysentan? You want to know, if you eat that rice alone, which would be cooked, let's say, in your vice versa case, you cooked rice in a meaty pot, do you have to wait 6 hours or not? That's a beautiful discussion in Simen Tzadi Hei in Yeredeh, very interesting shalat. But leaving this out now, I'm just showing how relevant Natba Nat shalats are. And again, it's not the most common shalats that Rabbonim ask, is Natba Nat shalats, without a doubt. Now, when it comes to Natba Nat, is Natba Nat called Ntam or not? And the answer is, it depends if it is something which is heter or something which is issa. And that's where it becomes really noigea to Simon Tafnun base. There's a distinction whether the tam, the taste, is something which is also or something which is not also. Noisentan, bar noisentam, if it is heter, it's pure taste of heter, is irrelevant. Doesn't, if it's heter, something which is permitted, then that has got no relevance if it's an at banat. We consider it nullified, gone. It's two generation, forget it. However, if the nat banat, his grandfather, was something which is also, then the nat banat is considered still a problem, even if it's an at banat. Potentially even an at banat banat. So we are distinguishing, to the key question, is nat banat also or not? Is it considered tam or not? He's not banat, a second generation. Is that considered real time or irrelevant time? The answer is, it depends. When it comes to your rice, when it comes to meat, when it comes to water, when it comes to, and then the nat banat, we just ignore it. We say it's not relevant. It's perfectly in order. However, if the nat banat is something which is also, then we keep looking at it. It's ironic in a way, but that's really what we're going to see, which is really relevant. So therefore, going back to the initial question, how does Hagala work? Yeah, again, the question of the taste of chametz goes into water, it comes back. Assuming there was no shishim, what are we going to do about nat banat?
It's within one day.
Oh, so keep going. Well, let's say it's within. When?
Before the zman.
Oh, so if you are very good, it says it depends on that. Absolutely. Why are you assuming that chometz is a issa? On Pesach, you're absolutely right. But if it's, let's say, let's keep it simple, if it's before Pesach, if let's say you're kashering for Pesach, but it's not Pesach yet, so nat banat would be considered heter, and therefore, if you're kashering before Pesach, then it nat banat is heter, and therefore, the answer to this question is, you can kasher it, because what is this? The term that goes from the spoon into the water is not rishon, and from the water into the spoon is not sheni, is not banat.
You couldn't kasher
wrong. Absolutely correct, and that's precisely, so please, because that's precisely what Shulchan Aruch is going to teach us. That's exactly what Shulchan Aruch is going to teach us. There's a distinction when kashering before Zman Issa to after Zman Issa. Because if you're kashering before Zman Issa, so what happens is that the taste that is going back into the spoon would be considered heter. But it's considered nat banat. And nat banat, we just said now, when it comes to heta, is irrelevant, so that's fine.
Can I go back to your case? You have a pot that you cook porridge in.
Which one is that? This one? Yeah, whatever, yeah. Cooked before the Zman Issa.
Right. The keli is a
chametz keli. Chametz keli. I want a kashri now.
For Zman Issa, forget kashri now.
Yeah.
For Zman Issa, you cooked in it water.
So the water is not banat.
Can I drink that water on Pesach?
Drinking the water on Pesach. Yeah.
What's the Issa? No, when I cook potatoes, they
were fun. Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
We don't have any contact.
So that will be discussed. You're right. Excellent. 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 You're going the right way. But so Rabbi Isai. So that's really the key points you've got to be aware of. So that's really how you kasher. So answering our initial question, how do you kasher something? The issa goes back into the keli. So we either going to make sure you've got more than shishim, or better yet, you make it enu ben yoimoy, and then.
It doesn't really help if the whole keli is coming in one hour with 500 saucepans.
Oh, very good.
If you ask me, like, is it ben yoimoy?
They should.
For sure, not 60. How can you kasher anything in less than 60?
Well, in theory, if it's Issa, then it's not banana, it would be fine. If it's Issa. If it's Heta. The Maisa, I think what you are referring to is another thing. The Maisa, what happens if I take, if I have something which is 60 against it, but the second person, and the third person, and the fifth person, there's 500 people coming. So 500 people, you don't have 500 times the...
Strength.
The 500 times the strength. So strength, the water doesn't have 500 times 60. So the answer to that question is that every time it's bottle, and then it's bottle, and it's you couldn't simultaneously come altogether, but every time it's bottle, it disappears. It's gone. It's finished.
So in one go, it's got to be bottle.
Absolutely, yes, that's what we're saying. In one go, but
it disappears.
It disappears. It's gone. Kaloyoyo.
It's disappears.
Yeah.
So you do it in
Chalakim. You do. Every shvich in its own.
It doesn't go back in?
No, it can't. Because the halacha is that if something is in the middle of process of getting, if it's in the middle of, if the beers are going out and it can't simultaneously take in that second, that's why we actually pour cold water straight afterwards. Right. To make sure that it cools down and it can't absorb new beers.
And then you don't? Pour the cold?
You have to.
I think we leave it anyway 24 hours before.
Yeah, that's right. But you have to make sure, but being enu ben yoimoy, generally, I don't know if they always bother checking, but it says one of the halachas in Yoyedeh, when it comes to agola, the one who is doing the agola, he's got to make sure, he's got to ask people if it's enu ben yoimoy. It says on the notice board normally, it says, exactly, it says it. You've got to make sure it's enu ben yoimoy. How about you say, we'll discuss more? Yeah.
Just two things. Number one, when they say diffusion is when you have high concentration to low concentration. So it's going to go from the saucepan to the water.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So, and number two is that when you boil the product, whatever it's like, you take garlic and boil it, the more you boil it, the weaker the garlic's going to become.
Okay.
So the boiling process is going to kill the tongue.
Okay.
So when the saucepan, when the water's being boiled continuously, when all the beers is going to go to in the air.
So therefore, what you're pointing out, so that since
there's
the...
There's no problem with nut but nuts.
Because it's bubbling, so...
The tongue is being killed by the heat of the water. The constant boiling of the water.
What, are you saying like it caches itself?
Yeah.
So, whilst you svara, is a recognized svara, that... I know, but that would only... So we're saying that...
Constant caching,
it's you've got a registered svara there. It's true, there is such a concept that whilst it's constantly... Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about
it.
There's no shishim.
But where's the beer going?
It's going to Shemayim.
It's got to go somewhere.
The molecular boiling.
The bubbling makes it. Yeah, okay. I have to think about this. Why we don't say it directly? Because he has to. It's a good svara. I have to think about it. It's a good svara. Let me think about this. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.